Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, here at Spirit Radio, we found ourselves unexpectedly at the centre of a breaking story. When we interviewed Robert Fisk from Syria, that was on Monday the 16th of April, and he had just stepped out of a hospital clinic in Douma, that's of course in Syria, and had news for the world that the people in a video from the clinic, supposedly suffering from gas poisoning, were actually suffering from dust inhalation. Now, 2 days previously, the US, Britain and France had carried out airstrikes on Syria in retaliation for this alleged chemical attack, saying that they needed to send out a clear message that the normalization of chemical weapons use would not be tolerated. Now, our next guest has advised the UK government in the past and advised the UK government in this instance not to rush into military strikes, and many would say that events have proved him right. Now, he's a man with an enormous amount of experience. Among other things, he's the former head of the UK's Royal Navy, and indeed he headed up the whole naval service from 2002 to 2006. He was a former Minister for Security and Counterterrorism, and in particular, he was an advisor to Gordon Brown, who was Prime Minister during that period. Admiral Lord Alan West, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
First of all, Admiral Allen, you were one of the first people to urge caution when this video, showing people with water being poured over them, it was first released. Why were you concerned in the first place?
Well, my concerns were really as a military man. There was no sense or logic in Assad, who, let's face it, is a pretty ghastly man, carrying out a chemical attack when he was about to win and take over that whole area, because clearly it would draw opprobrium on him and his regime. It might draw reaction. So what was the point in doing it? To kill a few women and children when he was about to take the area over anyway, when there were almost no enemy fighters in that area, just didn't make sense. Whereas it did make sense for the opposition forces, who are a very disparate group of people. I mean, some of them, are as bad as Daesh. It made sense for them to do something about it, because that would possibly get the allies, if I can call them that for want of a better word, on their side, and that could be a game changer.
Do you think that Theresa May had enough information at her disposal to justify taking part in the airstrikes?
Well, I have to assume, and I've been in government myself, and I've been in a senior military position, that she did have intelligence that made it absolutely certain that this had happened and that Assad's people had carried it out. But clearly I'm not now linked into that, and I had not seen it myself. And as I say, I remain concerned because it didn't make sense militarily. There's no doubt that Assad has used chemicals in the past, but then so have the opposition there. And so I hope that she had concrete evidence, perhaps, say, intercepts by GCHQ or NSA with Syrian officers talking, saying they were doing it. But I don't know if she did have that.
Yeah. Do you think we'll ever know for absolute certain if a chemical attack actually did take place?
Well, it certainly seems now that the evidence is quite sort of contradictory. Let's put it that in its best form. It does seem contradictory evidence. I'm not sure that we can be absolutely certain. I think if the Prime Minister and if the Americans were absolutely certain that this was an attack by Assad's forces, then I think the response was proportionate. And it shows that we don't like anyone, using chemical weapons. But I have to add a caveat to that, is that it hasn't shortened the civil war, and what the poor, benighted people of Syria need is an end to the civil war. Every day it goes on, more die and get displaced, and 400,000 or so have died already. And this didn't shorten the civil war. The war looks now as though it will end with Assad winning, and our policy in our country has been to ignore Assad, and I don't think that's very clever. In foreign policy, you have to deal with the most loathsome of people and shake hands with them occasionally. And I'm afraid to try and pretend they're not there is not a clever way of doing business.
When I look at the situation, Lord Allen, I'm often confused about what exactly the West is trying to achieve in Syria. It looks as though, you know, they are supporting a disparate group of terrorist organizations who sometimes have, you know, been completely on the other side, so to speak. And it looks almost as if the real game here is just degrading the nation, just pulling down its capacity to do anything.
Well, you've made a very good point. What actually is our strategy for Syria? And I don't think we've had a sensible and comprehensive strategy. And all that has happened is we've allowed the civil war to trundle on with more and more deaths and more displaced people. That there's no doubt in my mind that if Assad and his regime had been collapsed and displaced, we'd have 6 million Christians and Alawites being massacred and displaced as well. So there are no good guys in this. Everyone actually is pretty awful. But when this all started, you know, after the Arab Spring, there were all great hopes that there would be a nice democratic upsurge. And there were some democratic people in Syria. There were some good people. But I'm afraid it got overtaken by Sunni radicals, really unpleasant people, as I say, very much like Daesh. And it's become a bigger and bigger and greater mess. I mean, the next stage will be the attack up in Erbil, which is the last big center of the opposition to Assad, and it's going to be very bloody and very, very unpleasant.
Yeah, indeed. Lord West, you're a military man. Now, you know, the West carried out what have been called surgical strikes. Do you think it's possible to carry out surgical strikes without risking unintended consequences?
I think this particular strike was done without anything, but that's highly unusual. And I think it's a dangerous concept, surgical strikes. And I do think that remote strikes where you think you can have a war where your people are totally untouched, I think is extremely dangerous. Wars, I've been in three wars. Wars are bloody and nasty, and they need to be, otherwise people think you can fight them. And basically, we don't want wars. If you can think you can do it all remotely and surgically, in inverted commas, I think it leads people to think that it's all right, and it's not. Generally, there are unintended consequences, and indeed, when you let loose action and move towards war, politicians totally lose control. It suddenly becomes military people. Worse and worse things happen, and you do have a whole series of unintended consequences.
Yeah. How would you assess the Syrian civil war, as it's called? How would you assess it right now? And what's the way forward to bring it to an end?
Well, I think the only way it's going to end now is Assad winning, and the Russians have made that possible, and the Iranians. I think when the war stops, then I think we've got to put huge diplomatic effort into seeing what can we do to reconstruct this country and how can we move forward. You know, that's the thing, because it's going to be very, 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 very difficult.
So your assessment of the opposition forces, you talked about them before as a sort of a disparate group of a number of different organizations. Are these people that can be steered towards peace negotiations?
I think that can be done. I mean, I think at the end of the day, that can, when it's clear to them that they can't win or do any better fighting, that's when people stop fighting. If they think they can still gain something by fighting, they'll keep fighting. And I think that stage will come. But there are other factors. So, for example, there's a huge Iranian involvement. And there's no doubt that the Israelis are not going to allow the Iranians to establish bases in Syria. We've already seen one attack on such a base. There will be more. Also, because of the strength of Hezbollah and what's going on and the Israeli push, Lebanon is now very destabilized. Lebanon, there could be an absolute disaster in Lebanon any time now. Things are quite worrying. Well, more than quite worrying. And we've got the Turkish involvement against the Kurds in the north. We need the war to stop. I'm afraid it will probably be with Assad winning it. But there'll be a very bloody period with Erbil where, going back to your initial question, if I were one of the disparate opposition groups, I would be hoarding a few of my chlorine shells, and I would say, right, let's wait till there's an attack by Syrian Air Force, and then we'll explode a couple of these shells and say he's done it again, in the hope that Trump and the Brits and the French do a bigger attack on Assad. Because if they can persuade the world that Assad is using chemical again, maybe the Americans and ourselves will do a bigger attack. All that will do is kill more Syrians and prolong the war, I believe.
Yeah.
And so we need to be extremely careful.
Yeah. So I think perhaps then what you're saying is that the best we can hope for is that the war comes to an end, and that the Western forces learn to exert diplomatic pressure on Assad and try to move the situation forward in that way.
I think that's the we need to in civil war we need to stop, and then I think we want to put every bit of pressure we can on, and part of that will be financial. You know, where we can give support to help rebuild the country and things, but you know. Put strings attached to it,
yeah.
And you know, maybe moving to saying, you know, to Assad, you know, they've got to be certain, you know, he's got to make certain concessions and things like that, you know. But that's the sort of area I think we need to work in. I mean, the talks in Geneva have really fallen all the time because people say, well, we can't have any solution where Assad's involved at all. Well, that's just not real politique, I'm afraid. He is there, as I say, like, he is a loathsome. Some of the things he's done have been frightful. But the people he's opposed against, some of them are frightful. I mean, there are no good people, I'm afraid, there. It is, apart from the average poor, benighted, ordinary Syrian, they're the only good guys, poor people that they are.
Indeed. Admiral Lord Alan West, it's a very confusing situation. You've helped us make sense of it this morning. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We appreciate you giving us the time.
Not at all. Not at all.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.